Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome back to the Under the Kosh podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you very much for all the reviews. Keep them coming in, firing us up that chat. But before we get started this week, we've got a little bit of an offer.
Yes.
If you're like me and you like a bit of a bet every now and again, nothing silly, but a little flutter, but you're not very good at it, and you're fed up of handing all your money over to the bookies, you should give the football stock market a whirl. Yep. On the football index, you can buy football players, earn dividends, and sell at profit. And it's all tax-free. How about that? And here's the best bit. Listeners to the Under the Kosh can trade £1,000 completely risk-free for 7 days. You just head over to footballindex.co.uk and use promo code Under the Kosh. That's without the E, just like the title. And if you don't love Football Index, they'll give you your money back. How good is that, hey? Download the app or play online at footballindex.co.uk and start trading in Messi, Salah and hundreds of other players. Obviously, T's and C's apply. You must be over 18. Deposit required. And when the fun stops... stop. Welcome back under the kosh, you alright? Good?
How are we doing?
Yes. We've got Mr. Billy Painter with us. How are you doing?
Not so bad. Yourself?
Well done, Bill.
Yeah.
You alright there, Bill?
Lads.
Alright. Alright, Bob. You alright?
I'm good,
yeah. Yeah, good.
No subtitles on here, are we?
First of all, thanks for all the reviews and everything. I mean, even off the first two episodes, it's
brilliant.
Been phenomenal. The
keep
response,
them coming. Keep them coming.
And we've taken the negative spin of the audio quality. We're here now in a professional environment, rather than just rocking up in a pub basement with fridge in the background and ice clinking.
We're YTSs though, weren't we?
Yeah,
it's YTSs. Yeah. This way. We're just trying to start sign as first year pro, and then we'll take it from there and see who we.
It was a nice pint though, wasn't it? Positives.
Yes, yeah.
I'll miss them.
Yeah,
but we probably should have told the listeners that how good a pub it was.
It
would have a little gaff, weren't it? Yeah.
The
ambience was second to none.
But if you hear the dog. Parky's brought his dog.
Let's see.
Yeah.
If you're any barking at any point.
He rocked up with a dog.
I'm really.
It's going to for an audio recording with a fucking dog.
I've recently acquired a Romanian Whippet Cross. To be honest, I'm not really sure what's in it, but.
What's in it?
Doesn't understand you.
I'll have to get the Romanian phrase book out. So she's in a couple of rooms further down, so if she's hearing it back, I do apologise. She's still getting to know the country and the surroundings.
The language.
Like, yeah, just... But, yes, if you're the dog, apologies.
If she caused havoc.
She's not been too bad, to be fair. She were half-trained, I mean... She's come from a rescue charity. The only problem is, I've not told you this yet, she'll only go for a piss and a shit in my garden. or in the house. So if we get in there and it's defecated, I do apologise.
I'll send you the invoice, mate.
Billy, you started at, what, Port Vale?
Port Vale.
How did that come about? Like, obviously, Liverpool lad, and then...
Yeah, I had a trial at Everton when I was younger. Got a no, as most kids do, but some kids fall away and take that hard. I just carried on with my Sunday league and then got an opportunity to go down to Port Vale. I had a 4-week trial there and he signed me up from there. So from the age of 10, been travelling down to Stoke.
So
was going to say, like, mum and dad taking you down?
Mum and dad. My dad was working on the rails, so at night, sometimes he'd have to sleep in the car to get his head down to go then work in the night.
So I think that's one thing that, that people don't realise, that my dad was the same. He's to give yourself the best possible chance, you need a sort of network around you. I mean, as you said, Bill's dad's sleeping in his car, so his 12, 13 year old lad can go to training, and the sacrifice, and that might never have come to anything, but obviously Bill's dad was still willing to do that. And you obviously you see footballers and you think, oh, they've just ended up there. There's obviously a journey and a story to how Billy ended up at Port Vale and the sacrifices that people have got to make.
You made your debut at 16.
Yeah. I think I just scraped through to get on YT. Brian Orton seeing me. I had a game and liked what he seen and took a chance on me and gave me my debut against Walsall.
That is a 16-year-old lad, but he, you know, boys to men, stepping in there.
Had you ever played a reserve game on a Tuesday? I go on, and then within 10 minutes, took me off. I'm thinking, what have I done wrong here? I know. So after the game, thinking, on the phone to my dad, I went on for 10 minutes, just took off. He's like, what have you done? I was like, I don't know, I think I was doing all right, but, you know, as a kid, you're thinking, I must have done something wrong.
What, he didn't say anything to
you? Didn't say nothing.
Then
Brian Orton. Then he comes out. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, nothing.
Sleeping in cab.
Apple
with
me, mate.
Get yourself a suit. I'm like, why? I mean, because you're on the bench and first thing on a Wednesday. So it's the next day. So I was like,
first team.
Okay, so I have to go. Like Burton's. I was only on £45 with my TSB.
You have to still get your suit from Burton's.
I know.
Just because you bought your first suit from Burton's.
Because you got that loyalty card when you were 16.
You didn't have to buy them all for the rest of your life.
Collect any points in there.
Was it slim fit?
No, not back then. The slim wasn't back then. It was baggy.
Big and baggy.
And the shirt was baggy as well. But yeah.
So on the way, a good 10 minutes.
On the wages that you were on YT then.
Yeah.
Just going back to that though, when you're saying reserve team football back then, that was proper football.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing against men.
I played against internationals in reserve team football at 16.
Yeah.
And you can't help but learn and get better as a player. And it makes the transition into the first team so much easier. We are now. You've got players playing reserve team football now who nobody wants to play. You're either coming back from injury, teams just use it as we've got a reserve game, we'll play the kids. So you might be playing against under 17, under 18 in reserve team football.
What's changed though? Because those lads that were playing in the reserves, you know, from a first team squad now, the lads that aren't getting in the first team squad, where are they playing then?
The manager... Like the clubs that I've been at recently, they'll organise games. We used to call them the banter games because it was the lads that were crap. We're not playing on Saturday. They'd play, say, they'd all game against Rochdale or Bury or whoever. Play them on the Tuesday, which was crap. You know, nobody wanted to be there, and you've got to play. So, but going back to the reserve, as soon as the academies came in, there was the under 23s.
Yeah, I think for me, the under 23 football's killed it.
Yeah,
where. Reserve team football, you're playing against other pros, so it's, you know, you see it as a competitive game.
Yeah.
Now you see it as like, oh, I have to go and play against kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a seasoned pro.
Yeah.
So why have I got to go and play kids? And it just loses the. Yeah. You know.
I think the players' attitudes have changed that as well, where players think they're too good to play in reserve team football. Whereas back in the day, people were. Probably more scared of managers, I would say, than what they are now. I mean, if you went and played against under, like a Tuesday afternoon against, I don't know, Billy under 18, and you do well, you're supposed to do well. If you toss it, oh well, he's tossed it. He's definitely even further away from the team now. So you can't actually win.
Can't win, yeah.
Because if you do well and you score two goals, you can't go on the manager's door and say, I scored two goals in the reserves. Yeah, but you're playing against Billy under 18.
Yeah.
If you didn't score two goals against them, you're thinking, well,
there really is something wrong here.
You've just got to do it for yourself, though. You know, if you're lacking fitness, you haven't been in the team for four or 5 weeks, you've just got to run about to get your fitness levels in case you get called upon to play on the Saturday.
I just see it's an extension of your youth team, of your YTS, this under 23. Now, are them kids wanting to go out on loan and get first team experience, or are they happy to be, you know, have it on a plate, your kit's laid out, your boots are nice, you know, you come into train at, say, Everton, Liverpool, Man United, City, it's all nice for you.
Breakfast, lifts into training.
Yeah.
I'll always go back to when we were at Preston. We got Danny Welbeck, Matty James and Josh King on loan from Man U. And Danny Welbeck, for the first two games, looked as though he'd never kicked a football in his life.
Yeah.
He was barbaric, weren't he?
I remember after the second or third game, we're in the gym doing a cool down. Have we signed your fucking brother or what?
I said, hello, Dean, is there any chance of sending your Danny in for next game or what? But you could tell that he were good. And Matty James and Josh King took to Championship football quicker than Wells. But all three of them came with the right attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the Alex Ferguson influence, but they all came with the right attitude, and it was totally different to anything they've ever experienced before, I would have thought, in the Man U under 23s, the Man U reserves.
Yeah.
And
but they embraced it, didn't they?
Yeah, as I said, they came with the right attitude, and they grafted the balls off. Matty and Josh did better than Wells, I would say. And look at them now, because they've gone out and they've learnt what football really like.
So going back to Port Vale, Bill, when you made your debut, was that your win? Were you playing every week?
Not every week. It was sort of.
You still got the suit, by the way.
No, it's too big, actually.
You doing it now? Listen, I've got a couple of little Burton numbers in my wardrobe.
Yeah,
you wouldn't mind passing
around. No, it was right. It was.
I think we just sorted that sponsor out.
When you're ready, Burton.
Yeah. No, you sort of introduced me and sort of get a feel and how I would react. Come on for the last half an hour. And John Goodman was playing. He does all the commentary now for the Sky.
Don?
Don Goodman, yeah.
Is that the actor?
It's John! John!
What was his name? Oh, yeah.
I didn't know Don and John did. Yeah. I know Don played. I didn't know Don played.
No, John did Big Break. He had a line in goal, and then that was it. Hollywood just came and called him.
And then from I missed out. We got to the LDV final, played Brentford at Cardiff, and there was one of the strikers were injured at the time, and I thought I could have the chance here to be on the bench. And for the last sort of minute, he declared himself fit, and I just missed out on that. But then from 17. Just travelled to gain experience with the first team. T-boy, you know, up and down the coach making teas and coffees.
You got some stick as the young lad.
Yeah, got some stick.
Walking past your two cups of tea and somebody just push you and you'll be sculling your fingers.
Yeah.
All that. Just collected the balls. Pros like to lash balls in every four corners,
as far as I can, really. Yeah. Just six out of you to collect.
So you see me being on, that was my job. I had to come and collect the balls in. Con probably thought, fucking bastards, you know, pissing down rain, collected them, coming into the change room. Paul Fell's first team used to train that year, used to get changed in the home dressing room, the YTS lads in the way. So I've come in, three baths lined up, one's still getting ran, Levi's in the middle bath. And he's gone, "Oh, Bill, I've ran your bath." I'm like, "Oh, what an absolute star. Cheers, lad." So quickly got undressed, dived in, lovely and warm, washing myself, you know, plums and that. Like, "Oh, cheers, Levi." So as soon as I've teared, and there's like a little passageway, there was a figure, Brian Orton was there.
Did he used to peer through the steam?
He had his towel, not round him, but over in his hands, and he was bollock naked. And I've just gone, like, looking at him, just going, "What the fuck are you doing?" I've gone, "Just in the bath." He went, "That's my fucking bath."
So he'd done you.
I shit myself. Like, I didn't know. He said, like, you know, he ran me a bath. He's like, "You fucking bastard, kids. Lost his plot. Goes round the corner to put the shower on. and it was not hot water. I was like, you can have my bath. I don't want the bath. Little brown floaty, you've cut yourself.
I had Brian Orton at Mackles Ferry. It could be nasty.
Yeah.
It could be a nasty, nasty man. Nasty man.
But I knew how he was, and he brought it up, and it sort of.
As soon as you saw that silhouette, yeah. did you know?
And then going up to the first team, and anything you'd done wrong, he'd let you know. So you'd have to be thick-skinned going through all that. As I say, going back to kids now, I think they can't take a ball of him. I've been in dressing rooms, and a manager's given a ball, and he's crumbled at half time, and that was them.
I mean, not like
old school.
Have you played under any managers that very like really relaxed? And don't give the bollocking.
Does any of you play under Danny Wilson?
No.
He was good. Yeah. Relaxed, but man management, really good. Yeah. So to let the players get on what they need to do, put the training sessions on. If they need to be told.
Well, I think a big part of this man management is recognising who needs a bollocking. You know, there's some lads who you said before, young kids getting torn your arsehole at half time and they go in the shell. A good man manager would look after him a little bit, you know, just say, quiet, come. And they'll probably walk out the second half and be brand new.
It's different, the kids, man. I mean, we, our playing away, I can't remember what player, playing Forest Green away at Braintree, I think. It's 800 people there. And the ball's gone into the corner flag and one of our kids has gone and fouled him. He's going out for a throw in that he's fouled him. So I said, Kurt, what are you doing? You know what I mean? This cocky little shit. Kurt, what are you doing? He says, wind your neck in, mate. So I've gone absolutely ballistic. I says, who the f*** do you think you're talking to? So like I'd absolutely gone and I'd never moved for 4 minutes. I was just stood shouting at him
on the field.
Yeah. never even bothered with the ball. I'm shouting, the referee stopped the game and said, John, you have to calm down. Everybody can hear what you're saying. And I'm like, so I get in at half time and I went and I pinned him up in corner. I says, you ever speak to me like that again and I will knock your teeth straight down your throat. And he's like, oh. So then the manager came in, did his little bit and that, and I went to the toilet and the manager came in and he went, I totally understand what you're saying, but just have a word with him and tell him you're not right with him now because we need him for the second half. And I just thought, sure, if that's how the game's gone, where a kid can't take a bollocking and our players can't take a bollocking, I says you've got no chance. It's totally different. I mean,
yeah.
How did he respond to that? After, in the weeks after, did it sort him out?
No. He's got a bigger chip on his shoulder. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on, Rob. I wouldn't dare speak back to a season pro.
You'd actually get a clip.
Yeah.
You'd
actually get a clip.
You can't do that now, though, can you?
But the manager will back. Well, back the player,
the senior player.
Yeah. So, I don't know, you're not cleaning someone's boots and he has a good week and you're like, fuck off. And then the manager would say he's in his rights to.
Yeah.
The thing is, we're playing away at Braintree in front of 800 people, right? So that kid's wanting to go and play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So what is he going to be like if he's got 40,000 people abusing him? Is he just going to crawl into his cell, or is he going to be prepared for getting pelters every week? And every away game I've ever played, I've got pelters every week.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it, to be honest. I mean, it makes it even better if you score, but because I had all that, it's bordering on bullying, really, at times, weren't it?
Well, yeah, it's one of them. Like, you're a footballer. You sign this because you're going to get all the abuse and hassle and called for all sorts. It's just part of the job description.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
Just get on with your contract.
Yeah.
And you're like,
do you know what I noticed is that the last two I'm a Celebrities, footballers have been accused of bullying tactics in that environment when everybody's watching. Jimmy Bullard, Dennis Wise. They've been accused of bullying tactics, but I think it's just part of that, the conditioning of, it's the environment you brought up with lads and...
Yeah, 100%.
It's not necessarily, you're not bullying somebody to belittle them, it's just those, yeah, that environment that you
think you just, in the changing room, you just assume that everybody else has got a thick skin, you know, yeah, and you can, yeah, take it,
yeah,
but obviously they haven't.
You know? like after the summer, obviously everyone comes back, everyone's got the tan on, and like... No matter what they look like, I'll say to someone, or if somebody's put a little bit on, fucking hell, you've had a good summer, ain't you? Why didn't you say that in an office?
Yeah.
Working in an office and some woman, you get back after Christmas and you get come back after Christmas and a woman's put half a store on, you're like, fucking hell, Beryl. What are you women doing over Christmas, Beryl?
Fucking hell.
What are you doing? It's a present. Do you know what I mean? In a normal workplace,
yeah,
you're in front of HR, you're sacked by the end of the week.
Yeah.
But that's just how it is.
Where did you put Beryl from?
No idea. I think we might have been thinking of Beryl for the dog. I think we've either Betsy or Beryl, we went for Betsy.
And then what, Hull, you moved on after that. I was reading though, was there a bit of controversy with a bit of tapping up from Tony Pulis?
Peter Taylor, wasn't it?
At Plymouth Argyle.
There was a story.
Just, right, Chris is doing his research. Yeah.
You
just
nah, keep, but he's all over the
you're
place.
You just keep your nose
out. I have to keep him right.
Yeah. Am I right there, am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Right, shut the
right.
fuck up.
Interference, obviously. <Yeah. laughs> Keep that big nose out, will you?
No, there was three clubs in Chester at the time, so I'm not too sure about the tapping up, but I think Pulis thought I was going to go there.
Yeah. So what is tapping up?
Just in football terms?
Just as a, you know, what's the content? Is it a phone call? Like, do you fancy sign for us? Or
basically, yeah, every
it
deal.
Goes on, surely.
Every deal but is tapped
I think
up.
The way yeah. now they're trying to do it is the middleman, which is the agent.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, the agents at the time said, yeah, he's coming to here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I chose to go to Hull to be, well, to, I seen it as to better my career because Peter Taylor was involved in England at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to try and get in and kick on from there.
Yeah.
What league were Hull in, mate?
It's Championship.
There.
Yes, yeah, so did you join in the summer?
No, I joined in the January.
And Parkinson came
Phil
in.
Phil Parkinson came in from Colchester.
Yeah. And he said to me, you know, I want to get you fit. I want you to start the season. And I was like, as a young kid, buzzing. Can't yeah. wait for the season to start.
So you're probably thinking that because you're thinking, it's either play Bill or we've got that Parkinson. And he's had a good summer. He's had an incredible summer.
So we were in the 6 o'clock. Club,
we were in 6 o'clock fat camp.
Yeah.
We both in. Captain, vice captain. We had
there's all of the strikers, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we've got five strikers at the club and four were in fat camp. We were up at six doing yeah. like a 50-minute plod. And then we were going to have breakfast.
Put it all back on.
We were full English. And then we'd train and then we'd dinner and training in the yeah. afternoon, but as I said, Phil Parkinson came in and he fetched all these ideas in.
Yeah. And, I thought he said all these ideas at the same time.
Both of them are rolling their eyes.
Basically, he's got like maybe it's second, third game of the season, and he's got us drinking Red Bull, he's got us taking caffeine tablets, and something else before the game. So. Wild. But you got to like quarter to eight and you're absolutely wired. Eyes are popping out your head and then we're playing the game and Francie got hit on the head, so he had to go to hospital with it. So while we're driving in with Francie, and so me and Duke have drove to the hospital to pick him up, and on the way I'm starting sweating in car, and it's not that far, 5 minute drive, I'm starting sweating in car and I don't feel very well. So he gets to the hospital. I thought, oh God, stomach had turned. But it proper turned, and I'm thinking, right, I need to get into the toilet. I can't actually physically make it. So I thought, I've opened the car door, and I've literally just in the car park, in the hospital car park, in my club tracksuit, literally just gone, right? And then I'm like, all calmed down. Still, I'm absolutely sweating. I'm like, I'm feeling.
When you say gone, have you been sick or?
No, I think everyone's like, listen, have you shit yourself?
Yeah, I've not shit myself. I've pulled my trousers down.
All right. Well, that's all right then. That's all right. At least he pulled his pants.
Very kind of you.
I was trying not to be crude about it, but I've shite in the car park, all over the shop, right? So I thought, I've opened my boot, and then luckily I've got my golf clubs in car, so I used the old golf towel. Sorted myself out with golf towel. Got back in car, waiting for Francie. I'm still sweating here, by the way, and then. I thought, oh no, I've got the stomach's turned again. So I'm back out of car. Trolley's back down around my ankles, and I'm on again. And I was like that all night. So from this Red Bull and these caffeine tablets and whatever else, gels and everything we're taking, it made me actually ill. And he's expecting us to play football like that.
Yeah. I think footballers will do anything for that extra 1 or 2% though.
Yeah.
Apart from.
Yeah, I've never been one of them.
Yeah. But like. Would you agree that, say, if somebody comes in selling protein, creatine, remember the beetroot juice phase? Yeah. People are drinking this beetroot juice by the gallon because they say it gives you an extra few percent.
Just selling the myth.
We had somebody at some
tastes like shite.
A nutritionist, whatever, selling gear. He had his creatines on the table, proteins, beta alanines, and all that. So I picked this tub up. I said, oh, what's this do, mate? So he'll have loads of energy. I was like, sound.
That's a salesman, isn't it?
So sign us up, give us two of them. And it was, so it's like a powder stuff. So you, about an hour before training, one scoop, 100 ml of water, down the hatch.
Was it for the game or for the bedroom?
A bit of both.
Until the weekend.
So you only have it once before training, but I was having it 3 times a day. I wanted to get a proper hit from
him. He couldn't be asked to cook his tea. So I'll have a bit of this.
I'll have a dessert. So I took it, I had it on the Monday, I had it all the way through the week. Megatonic, it was called, because it was like this. I mean, it sounds impressive anyway. So we went through the week, done all right in training. We played Leicester away on the Saturday. So Friday night, obviously, evening meal, pasta, chicken. Megatonic down the hatch.
See, I hadn't gone gin and tonic.
Again, I was on the bench at Leicester, 0-0 with half an hour to go. McCarthy's through was on, just a goal making impact. And I'm not one for self praise, but I was like Pelé. Honestly, first touch. See, he was out. First touch, right? Someone said, listen, stop interrupting. Someone threw the ball in.
Pelé or Smelly?
I've hit this volley, straight first touch, stung the palms of pressman over the bar. We've scored from the resulting corner, 1-0. 25 minutes to go, picture the scene, comfortable, Megatonic's kicked in. I'm feeling unstoppable, right? So we dominate the last 20 minutes. Last couple of minutes, they've got a corner. So I'm on the front post defending. Tommy Myra comes out, claims it, hits the deck. And everyone's thinking, right, calm down. 1-0 up, obviously. I'm saying, fuck this. So I've took off, right? Edge of the, like 5 yards outside the edge of the box, and you're on half. I says, Tommy, fucking give us it.
And right, form at the mouth.
And anybody that's seen me play, right, will know I'm slower than a week in jail. Not today. He's rolled it out, right? And I've thought, I'm going for goal here. And I've just took off.
Well, like a FIFA moment.
It was. I've just took off. Nick got stabbed, his ass comes over, went past him like he wasn't there. So I'm like running towards the corner of the 18 yard box, no support. I can hear Gary Breen behind us, keep the fucking ball. I'm like, nah, I'm going all the way. And I've hit this delicious left pegger, like a 8 iron, over Kevin Pressman's head. I'm thinking, this is the goal of the season, if not of all time. just go in. He's flat in midair, hit the crossbar, bounced on the line, and bounced out. Devastated.
I think I need to get some of this.
Yeah. I know, Megatonic, get me on it.
Megatonic. I know you don't believe us, but it's true.
Good story, that one. Yeah. I just got this vision of like Matt in a fire.
But that honestly, was in his head.
Yeah.
He was a bag of shite. What are you doing? Taking 10 touches.
Bracing up his knees. Yeah.
Rather than challenges.
I expected to say, I got just to the edge of the box, I collapsed.
Sounds like this mega tight a bit of a fucking hallucinogenic as well.
It all had 80 yards, didn't it?
Did you play together at all? Did you ever?
A few times, yeah.
Not really.
Not a starting partnership. Sometimes like that.
He'd come off and I'd go on. Yeah. But no, it was just I was more of a spectator when he came. I remember that.
I've seen this film before. It's becoming a bit of a theme, here, isn't it? Sure, that happened at Preston, isn't it?
The time when I think, bloody hell, where I took notice was Stoke away. You scored two.
Oh, the little Johan Cruyff one?
Yeah. Everything yourself. Bloody hell, this big fella's got
something. No, I done that way. You're on it. I'm a bloody on the tectonic.
Yeah. Another sponsor sorted,
isn't it? Oh, yeah. You know.
Another one in the back.
I love all his biscuits, by the way. I'm a big fan of Rob Nobs. If anybody... If McVitie's is out there, sponsors, please. We don't want anything. We just want obnobs.
Free samples,
girl. Yeah. As many obnobs as you can throw at us.
So my whole career was short and sweet. So after getting told, "Oh, we're going to start the season. We're going, big season." I'm like, "Okay, like buzzing for it." He pulled me aside and went, "We've accepted the bid for you to go to Southend."
Yeah.
I'm like, I was shocked. I was like, "All right."
Do you think you were settling in? And
I thought I was settling in. Yeah. Things you should rise, start the season, let's give it a good one. But it took me 7 hours to get to Southend. And
it's Megatonic and Rani, yeah.
The agents at the time were saying it'd be a great move for you, get me on things. Myself, am I really making the right decision here? I was unsure, but then got down there and signed, and I was like, shouldn't have done this. The only positive coming out of Southend was we got a card to get into Sugar Hut Free. Sugar Hut. So before it all kicked off,
night club?
No, and the only way is
I'd rather have one for pizza.
Here's another spot.
Come on, send that pizzas in, please, warriors.
I just think I got homesick at the time and was just like,
I think it's Southend miles away.
But that is one thing with you though, looking at the clubs that you play for. I mean, you two are journeymen, but it's generally within a 50-mile radius far from.
But that one,
gone the length and the breadth.
I think that one I was talked into and it was wrong. Don't get me, I did enjoy my time there as well. I've always enjoyed my time at clubs I've been with, but I just felt that I shouldn't have done this.
You go to Swindon then, innit? Do you feel at home at Swindon? Because probably one of the best spells in your career.
Yeah, Paul Sturrock signed me, but we had such a good team spirit, and all the lads looked after each other.
Best point in your career.
Because I was enjoying my football at the time.
Charlie Austin as well, you and him were.
But honestly, right, for me and him, it wasn't like, we scored. We're going to score today.
Yeah.
And that was the time I was thinking, wow.
I mean, between you, what, 49 goals that season?
Yeah.
Had he come from non-league then?
Yeah.
To Swindon?
Pearl Town. And I think we worked well as a partnership. We understood each other. Still speak to him now and again, yeah?
You don't think you fancy doing a podcast, do you?
Yeah. No, but going back, the last season we got to the playoff final.
Yeah.
That would have finished off a tremendous season as a team.
Do you think you'd have stayed?
I was looking to stay even with them.
Just because you were enjoying it?
Yeah. I wanted 3 years at Swindon and they were only offering two. And I wanted a bit more security. And in the meantime, when it was just messing about and renegotiating, I went up to Leeds and signed. The next day, the postman delivered my new contract offer from Swindon. And it was the 3 years. So you finished the playoffs end of May.
Yeah, it's late, mate.
So they've had a month off because they've went up. That's where, looking back, I probably should have took more time off instead of I'm buzzing, I'm on a high.
Yeah.
Right. But I remember it in Slovakia we were. And my shin just gave in.
this is pre-season.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Pre-season, like looking forward to go and play a massive club. Pre-season, yeah, my shin just gave in, and that just cost me six and a half months because it's your bone. You can't, yeah. So you have to wait, and it's big just well, it's not a break. I wish I broke my leg because a break heals quicker.
Yeah.
Because it was a stress fracture, I had to wait for that to heal. And me being me, I wanted to come back sooner, so I come back,
rushed it,
then broke down again.
Because we spoke about this before, did you know that you weren't ready? But your own personal drive makes you tell fibs in a way to the physios and whatnot. Did you do that to get back?
Yeah, because I wanted to get back. I wanted to get back playing as soon as possible.
Was it the pressure of just signing for a club?
Yeah. Physically, you know you're not right, but mentally you just want to fucking...
Wanted to get out there and prove that, you know, I'm good enough. But it wasn't to be. So then I broke down, come back, and I remember playing Southampton on Sky. And within a minute of coming on, I just passed the ball and it tore my thigh. Yeah. So
that's what other thing what people don't realise. What bodies are actually going through. When we were at Preston, the physio used to come round on a Friday night. Just we're all having dinner at a table, anti-inflamm.
Yeah.
They were on your mat like sweets. So you should pop them at dinner, and then next day you'd feel all right. I mean, the pre-season when I were at Hull with Bill, first pre-season game, I brought my big toe. So luckily, well, you say luckily or not, I could still run. It didn't hurt when I run, just hurt when I kicked the ball. So it's getting to the start of the season, it's still hurting when I kick the ball. I'm like, what are we going to do here? He said, well, we can inject it for you. So I says, right, well, basically, inject my big toe and the bottom half of my foot's numb. So we're at West Brom, first game. The West Brom doctor came in, puts an injection in, half my foot's numb. So plays the game and then gets up Sunday morning. Obviously, everything had worn off. I couldn't walk. My foot was absolutely throbbing. I had injections for the first 15 games of the season in my big toe just to play. And you're like, that people would never...
A long-term effect as well, that's right, isn't it? But you're just thinking about the next game.
Yeah.
Aside from the injury, obviously you had it tough at Leeds. Like the fans got your back and everything, I know.
I've got a question here, actually. From @BenBoo1984. Did the pressure of not scoring make you go against your natural instincts in front of goal? And how much did the fans singing about you affect you?
I didn't really take much notice of the fans singing. To an extent where I wanted to score just to try and
shut them up.
But I didn't really, it didn't really get to me. Even though it was like, I thought, I was thinking that's good crack, that. Mr. Men. So they've had like me in a round, but me face and a big nose, Barnes or Billy. And I was just like, oh, and I went fair play, good class, like, you know what I mean?
Have you got one?
No. But, yeah.
Look nice with Burton's suit, that.
Yeah, anyway. Yellow as well.
Barnes or Billy.
Yeah. But no, I was saying, it didn't really get to me. It was just like saying, it was more of a, it's embarrassing that I'm not scoring here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're singing.
It doesn't help.
Not like, you know, if Billy scores on the pitch.
Fucking hell. The stewards were just sat there scoring first thinking, it's never going to fucking happen. Yeah. I'll have a Bob Rule, it's fine. Billy's not, there's not a fucking chance of him scoring.
After 5 minutes, they go, oh, come on, TB, good, all right, good, all right.
Would all Stuart please make the way to?
Actually, no, Wallace, there we go.
No, you're right. Yeah. Bill's just come on, it's all right.
Well, yeah, it was more of a, I wanted to score, you know, just to Well, it's just, but I don't think they would have. You yeah. know, because it was quite a catchy song at the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, sing it again, yeah. Singing my name. But as I've always said, right, there's some players that will be remembered for being good.
Yeah.
There's some players that will be remembered for being shite. No one remembers the okay players.
Right. I'll drink
for
that,
right. So take the positives out of a bad situation. In that word, I will be remembered.
Brilliant. I always be a little bit of history at losing that. Bremner,
yeah.
Champions League semi-final, and Painter.
Barndor.
Really Barndor.
Yeah, well, say, you take the positive, but just take it on the chin. It didn't happen, but I did enjoy myself there. As I say, I've always enjoyed myself at every club. But, you know, it was just one of those things.
You probably have got a bit of a cult status at Leeds now for not having the best of
for
times.
Being shit,
yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. To be honest,
to beat around. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. Well, I've got. Well, I'm remembered as a player. You want a career to be remembered, and if I'm remembered for being shit there, then take the word out remembered.
Yeah,
that's okay. I'm still be remembered.
Hitler will be remembered. Right. Yeah.
I'll never forget the Fritzels.
Yeah. But coming towards me time and in the time at Leeds, before I just went to Doncaster, it was the only time really a manager said to me, Neil Warnock, said, sorry son, you're not in my plans.
Yeah.
I think it's best you move on. I was shocked. I was thinking, bloody hell, a manager actually was honest with me.
Yeah.
Shook his hand.
Fair enough,
thank you very much.
Was he good, Warnock?
He was good, you know, good man management. Like, knew how to see players and players respected him, and that's why I think why he's still in the game. He's always been a top man, he's seen as a top manager.
So Doncaster then, they arrived and Chris there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he signed us as a pair. And
old Charlie Austin,
big old pair. Or it Vince McMahon who's there again. Was it wrestling, or what?
It was the team of the Giants, wasn't it?
Started like a dream as well, didn't
we? Yeah.
Ball all away. I think it was 2 minutes on the clock. We've bit of link up. I've ended up scoring at the end of it.
Yeah. The step over there, ball in, I've had a goal into him.
It was like the old York and Cole.
Oh, it was.
It didn't last long, did it? Went rapidly downhill. So in the end, he signed Hume. Ian Hume came in, and to be fair, Billy kicked me out of the team.
Yeah.
For a long while, weren't you?
What were your first thoughts of him?
I enjoy playing.
I'm not about as a person.
Yeah, top lad.
Straight away. That surprises me.
When
I signed at Preston, mate, it was so standoffish. You would think I took his mum out on a date.
Do you know why I think probably, right? Because we signed together and we started playing together, so that's probably why I got to know him well. Or instead of I'm coming in and we're fighting for the place.
I signed in August, mate, and he speaks to me till November.
Just blatant lies, but
October.
Yeah. Now we, and then we got on in the car school.
See, that helps, that
does help.
We've got a question actually. Jordan Ball. Bally. Does he still drive the Kia Sedona?
No. Unfortunately, I sold that to Rob Jones.
did you buy a car for travel?
I bought a car. Big blue Kia Sedona. 7-seater. Just for the car school. Just go up and down. The A1, wasn't it?
A banger light.
Oh, yeah. What? It was like £2,000, £2,500 bought it for. So when I've moved over close to home, took the seats out and made curtains to go around the windows, and I put a mattress in because the 62.
You weren't going doggy while you built.
No.
Right?
So
it went
a dogging wagon, won't it?
No, no one's
got it. I've seen that kid around a couple of weeks back,
mate. Trust me, no one's
got it. Still works, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm at Cairns, I'm putting Mattis in. I was thinking, the 62 is chock, I'm going to have to leave early, though. So I used to leave mine at 6 to get into Doncaster for about 9:30, 9. So what I used to do, I used to drive over and then stop over at a petrol garage on the A1, get my head down for an hour, get up and then get breakfast, put the keys to the door. We used to go, when I was at Leeds, travel up and down, good banter in there, the lads used to buy stuff. There's only one lad that didn't. Is there any chance you're going to buy something for the lads?
No.
No.
He was petrified. He was. Johnny Max.
What do you mean buy something?
Oh, Johnny.
Drinks.
All right.
Water.
Yeah.
Paper, anything like that. Brought nothing to the car school.
But he had no shame. It was just like, nah.
What a guy, mate.
Yeah. Brilliant.
At Fleetwood, we got Charlie Taylor on loan from Leeds. Left back. He's at Burnley now. And he was like a little frightened kid at headlights, bless him. Right? And he ended up with him and me and Crazy. So we used to get to services at on 62, Arsenmore.
Yeah.
At Arsenmore, we used to pull in. Right, what do we want? 3 sausage rolls, 3 coffees, 3 Lucases, and 3 chocolate Omnom bars. No, that one is round every day. Every day that one is round. This kid's trying to make his way at world. He's trying to make his way at football world. He's doing 4 sausage rolls a week. But it's Simon Burley now.
What did you think of Saunders when you arrived?
That's one of them. I buzzed off his crack. The antics of the Friday sessions, the fun day, you know, you get prizes at the end.
Score.
You
didn't win the race, did you?
No. It went downhill from there. I got like a 7 series of Jackass.
Fucking race horse. 7 one fucking Jackass box set.
And I've opened it up. And it's only had one fucking CD.
I'm sat at home with a big plasma. I've got my golf clubs. I'm playing at European Tour with golf clubs.
There was Jackass. There was a box of electrical goods.
Yeah.
So that's a cousin.
What, so
there was a used electric toothbrush.
An old electric
toothbrush. A DVD player without the plug on. It was like
bargain bucket
and like an old shaver or an old razor or something like that.
He must have been in his garage going, right, what can I get rid of?
He basically cleared his garage out with
an old briefcase that was just worn and nothing in it. And then was there a knife in it?
A knife.
A fucking knife.
State of the art.
But yeah, I'd buzzed off, and then like you'd come in the morning and he'd be there just with his golf club smashing golf balls up and down the field.
Yeah.
You're thinking, or he'd be on a lawnmower doing the grass. You think that's the manager?
I think he thought that he could do a job better than train people. So like he'd come down and he'd just cut his own hair. So he'd be in the mirror, cut his own hair. Honestly.
What?
If you've got an injury, if you do your knee, he'd roll his trousers up and go, I see that, and then you'd have to listen to his spiel about the surgeon that he went to see, how long he was out, what you need to do for rehab. He turned into a physio then. So he was a hairdresser, physio.
Fucking hell, he should have gone to Bradford for a hairdresser, Alan, shouldn't he?
Alan Fitzmarsh.
That last game, you at Brentford, you know, it's a well-documented game with you could win the title.
Bournemouth for top of the league. They wanted the title up at Tramia. A choice of, well, it could be one of 3 teams.
So we only needed a point.
Yeah. So
a place of one.
I was on the bench. Danny was starting, and then did we switch? We switched.
I came off.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna come off 10 minutes. And I was fucked. I'm like, oh my god.
Sometimes harder.
Just intense.
Like, what's going on here?
Coming on a subs harder sometimes because like as soon as you made your first run, you're blowing and you never seem to get your breath back.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, we're just hanging on because all we need is a point to go up.
So just to break down that situation, you need at this time you've come on for 10 minutes to go. You need a point will take you up.
We're going up.
A win, you win the you
no,
win.
No, a win will. We have to like better Bournemouth's result. Then they got a penalty. 96 minutes, wasn't it? And you thought, oh,
boom, boom, McCoon. Boom, boom,
so, you're, so basically, with 2 minutes to go, you're in second.
Yeah.
Going up.
You're going up.
Yeah.
Nil, nil. You're going up.
Yeah.
No matter, you're going up.
We're going up. We just needed a point.
Yeah. It was injury time.
96, yeah. Yeah, 96. Injury time. He gets a penalty.
So that's it, Dave. You're in the playoffs.
So all, yeah,
this, like, all this goal, that's it. That's it.
Was it a penalty?
Yeah, he took his head off.
Yeah.
with what, his foot?
Yeah.
So he's been rash though.
Sweet chin music to the chin. So yeah, and I'm like, I'm obviously still tired. Come over, calling for all sorts, thinking that's we're in the playoffs here. So I'm having a drink, watching, and then realising there's no one round here. Yeah. Like, what's going on here? So all the Brentford players were arguing who's to take the penalty. So it all got sorted out. But he still stayed around the box. So they must have thought, it's going to score.
Last kick of the game.
We'll all pile on. And it obviously hit the bar. We had like a little, man, I was trying to get the ball out. And then Quinny just hits it long. And then it's just
one around.
No one's around me, it's just hit me. I'm thinking,
you're right by the dugout.
Yeah, I'm right by the dugout. And I've got 50 yards to run towards. I could have ran in the corner, but I just thought, I think it must have been a strike. I'm going to run towards goal here.
And you're not in some of the
negative. I didn't say it now.
What's he called? Megatron.
No.
Is that what we're in your drink at the bench? No. Gaffer, give me some Megatonic.
It's not easy, is it?
What is it?
Megatonic.
Gaffer, give me some Megatonic.
No, I haven't had none of that. So I was just ran towards goal, and then just looked across, seeing Coppinger. I just thought, it's a FIFA goal, innit? No, last minute you square it, the goal. I thought, square it.
You know, it's heat at the moment kind of thing, but was there any point in your head where you thought to take the glory?
Sure, it was just like, I'm running towards goal, keeper's stay.
Yeah.
Man, I'll just play a 10-yard pass, he's got an open goal.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be honest with you, anything else chance that I would have passed it.
But I wasn't thinking at the time.
What about if you fucked it up there?
We're still going up.
You won the league though.
But this is where the story will get better, where you've scored, right? You've scored thinking we're going up, to then realising Bournemouth didn't get the result he wanted.
Yeah.
So we've gone from second, third
to champions.
I'd rather have scored than have finished third.
Well,
didn't they have the thingy on the pitch, didn't they? They're ready to do the celebrations to get the trophy. They were putting the, what's it called, man?
The podium.
Yeah. Thinking that it was game over.
You're on the bench.
Yeah.
When
top off. I think it's done. You'll be top
off. I've seen the video and he's taking his bib off. He's done a full fucking John Terry. He's full kitty when he runs on field.
I was looking well enough. Thing is, when the penalty was given, the first thing you think of, fuck's sake, we've got another 3 weeks of training. There's no guarantee that we're going to go up. And then he's at the bar and just went berserk.
Yeah.
Not a chance I'm passing them.
Probably kind of sense for I'm not the selfish
one.
You're
a selfless kind of guy, aren't you? And, you know, well,
he is. At the end of the day, I've squared it and we scored, we won. Where instead of, I could have took it into the corner.
Yeah.
I'm not realising, but it worked out better for doing it.
You must have gone out and had a good one that night.
Yeah, it was a good night, wasn't it?
What we can remember, yeah. Stopped off off your licence just outside Brentford.
It's me thinking which sugar lines are going off. It's the chocolate.
The cereal. And then we were
out. But that feeling,
three bottles of 2020.
You know, the feeling once you've gone up, it makes the last 10-11 months all worth it.
Carlisle,
I think. You've had more clubs than me, you'll be like,
I don't know, man. Yeah.
That was an interesting time. Carlisle, Chris Curl.
Yeah.
Keith Curl,
Chris Curl, yeah. I'll take Chris Curl.
Some of the research done this week. Nothing short of pathetic.
Complacent.
We've had a couple of reviews, a couple of listeners, and he's fucking talking fuck off, guys.
Chrissy Curl.
Yeah. Chris basically wants them yacht club. I was getting me in like at 8 o'clock, and then I was leaving at 5 o'clock. Wasn't able to train with the lads.
For personal fallout, or just didn't fancy you?
Just didn't want me. I think it started getting personalised the more it got on.
Yeah.
Because I'd come out and try and train with the lads because I wanted to train, and then I was getting kicked off the training ground.
That's embarrassing.
So on your own?
On my own. But then that's why I got the PFA involved, because it wasn't right.
So what, you contacted the PFA and felt that it was unfair?
It was, yeah. When people use the position of power,
yeah,
you know, he's got me by a piece of paper, basically. That's my contract. Now, where other managers are saying, don't want you, you know, why are you doing this to me if you don't want me? So, God, yeah, I did. I went, well, I'm not happy with this. Because it was started to affect more of my family. We were struggling, could be going down. And it was me and Gary Ticker as well at the time. And he brought us in for the game.
Just randomly.
We're playing out the cold. Like, you're playing now.
Brought you both in?
Brought us both in. And we ended up winning. And funny enough, me and him scored. And that kept him up. So as soon as he knew he was safe, us two again. Back out.
Okay.
Back
what, off.
Yeah, fucked us back off.
See, I'm falling in sick then.
See, so it
I'm
was
falling in sick the morning of the game. If he's done that to me and that, I'm falling in sick.
Yeah. So that was it. Yeah, it's just sort. This is football. You know what I mean?
But like, that's not football. That
no,
I don't think. I know people, managers don't want you, and I had the same with Malcolm McCartney. That's more than football. That's just being an absolute C-bomb.
Yeah.
Just to try and get you out of the club. There's ways and means to get any club that any manager said to you, I don't want you at my football club, you've got off.
Yeah.
Warnock.
But like I say, I got, because I felt I haven't done nothing wrong. So then that's where I can use PFA.
Mm-hmm.
And they backed me. They knew. So, and it was all interviewed and all stuff like that. I was getting fined for silly things. So I was coming in stuck late, or like speaking to the fitness guy because it's just me and him. I need someone to get me kids. I'm struggling here. Got no one to pick them up. So I'm sat. So I get a phone call. You're fined. They can't leave me kids, who were at the time, 8 and 4, outside the school yard waiting with no one.
People
don't need this.
That happens in football.
I don't need this. And at that time, I thought, it's not fucking worth it. I might as well chuck it in. I can't be arsed at all. Getting treated like a swat, really.
Just because that manager don't want you.
Mm. No, understanding then it becomes personal.
Yeah, it got personal, and then, you know, he was being tit with me, and then I might have been a tit with him because I was thinking, well, you started it, yeah. Treating me like this, I'll, you know. So, got a lifeline to go to Hartlepool then. So, the fans obviously took his side and must have thought, oh, he's a bad egg, Billy. Billy's a bad egg.
Yeah.
All right, go on, if that's what you want to believe, you know what I mean? Then go to Hartlepool, and then within a month being there, get given the captaincy.
That kind of, was that a proud moment after what's gone on at Carlisle?
Yeah, because the thing I'm chucking it, finishing it, I can't be honest with this. This is not football, I'm done with it, I've lost the love for it. And then signed for Hartlepool, and just enjoyed it from there, even going to an army camp. I think, bloody hell, for pre-season, but it was just a laugh.
Enjoying it, yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Hard work, but yeah.
And then got announced live on Skype, Paints captain, and I was like, didn't expect that. Like, oh.
So the best thing about it as well, because you know they're going to play every week.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's not going to make it.
Cheers.
He's not going to make it someone captain who's going to be sub. You know what I mean? So yeah. Bill knows he's playing every week. Yeah.
Am I right in saying you were part of this kind of gang of four?
Yeah.
At the end, we were given that responsibility of a managerial kind of amongst the players.
Two games left. We had Cheltenham away and Doncaster we were fighting to win the league or go up, and we just thought we called ourselves the Fantastic Four. You know, so we had Matty Bates, Stuart Parnaby, Ian Gallagher, and me. So we had a physio, fitness guy, and two ex-players. With all them, there's a lot of experience playing with that. You know, a lot of league games, a couple of Champions League, UEFA Cup, you know, stuff like that. So we used our experience and just thought, like, what can we do for two games? The restroom's flat.
We already relegated here.
No. We were in the bottom two. So we said, what do we need? And we just went, well, we don't need nothing. Just pick the club. We trained at the grounds. The lads at Brechy, under music, to get a bit of atmosphere. Five sides, you know, little tournaments after we win a prize, best player, just kept it more fun. Fun
based.
Yeah. Little trophy.
No golf club.
So then going into the last game, Doncaster live on Sky, say they could win the league. I think they're going up with Plymouth, Portsmouth, and we end up winning 2-1, and we're thinking, well, we think we're safe. Yeah, we're safe. We're here. No, it just got a goal. Newport scored in the last minute.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that just that, yeah, and that cemented us going down. But with those 2 weeks, I did enjoy the game.
Did you feel the lift in the changes that I was going to for you?
Yeah. No. We just said, you know, we're in this position.
Do you think about a night out for the lift?
We did, but I say it's them. If you get a picture taken, yeah, you know, it's one of them. You couldn't, you know.
When it's a relegation.
So we just made it was just more in house in the club. As a player, you have a different adrenaline to go out and basically look after yourself. And yeah. This one was. At one stage at Doncaster, I thought I was having a heart attack because I was so much worked up. I had to sit down, so I can see why managers go early, go grey early. You know what I mean? You see them like go in.
Well, I took my little under 10s team.
Yeah, that's why the pressure.
That's why mine's gone grey.
You see managers come in like fresh, and then a couple of months, it's like they aged overnight.
So you fancy it, management?
I do. Yeah.
Burns will be fucking rubbing their hands now. If you're going to be a tracky man or a
be a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burton's. No tie, just open.
Oh yeah.
The old Phil Brown one.
Yeah.
Phil Brown. The better results were, the less buttons he had to have. If you're winning every week, mate, honestly, there's only the bottom one done. You can see all his chest. So you start getting baited, you start to start popping up and popping up.
Did you go to Cheltenham the other week, or are you still banned?
I haven't been since the incident back in the Swindon days, where we've all gone as a team. And I thought, just put out there, wouldn't it be good to someone streaks?
Just put it out there, you know. Put it out for you, beers. Anyone fancy a streak? Yeah. No? No takers for a streaking?
Well, you're backing in the 130. I'm not sure, but I think I might run down this track.
No, I don't know what he's got a bit better about.
5-1.
Not really. I'm just a lump on Barn, but
and he's coming down the left track there, old Barn Doorbell.
No, I just sat there and I was like, no, what's that? So I just sat there, I was contemplating now, and do you know what? Fuck it. So there was a young lad, white yesterday, I went, come on, Kirk, let's get out. So we walked down, I went to the toilets, and everyone started walking out, because the last day's finished. So I've just stripped, left my shoes on. So I've jumped over the fences. Some horses are still cooling down.
So I've started. Look at that one.
So I've sort of sprinted to what, like, thinking, I'll try and jump a fence.
Full up meat and veg out.
Oh, it's all out, yeah. I've got only my shoes, right? I'm thinking, bloody hell, this fence is quite far away, yeah. Right, so I've just turned around and bolted towards the finishing line. Done a climb over the finishing line.
done a bit of shuffle boxing, boxing, bit of cartwheel, and
showing off a little bit.
Showing off.
Always me one would. Yeah.
Oh, crowd going.
Runs through groups of people, and everyone's in the box. It's like, oh. Got in, quickly changed, like walked up, and then Stuart's running past me,
trying to find you.
Trying to find ways this fella's streaking. Got up to the box. All the lads are in stitches, like, brilliant.
No police knocking about.
No, because it was all even. They've all gone to the front gates.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you got away with it?
I've got away with it, but I haven't been down since, just in case.
you never come out like with you?
No, man, never came out. The lads had videos of it and that, but it was too far away to see me piece.
Career highlight.
What are you thinking? What's going through your head?
I had a couple of beers at the time. Good laugh, it was a good day. And I just think, how do you top a good day off? Make it even more memorable.
Wow, class.
You're not lucky you're not still banged up.
You get done there for it's taking down a notch, but you get
allegedly
it's sex offenders registered.
Yeah,
so,
you flashed the fucking 40,000.
No, it is.
You get a bit of blood in it before you went.
Of course, you did.
The chill in the air,
shaking back,
girls laughed. The tune went.
Fucking hell, Bill.
Right, Billy, cheers. Thanks for your time. It's been...
brilliant, Bill.
Top man, Bill.
We'll be looking out for you at Cheltenham.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think I won't be doing Cheltenham again.
No.
No, runner.
I think before we go, we're going to say thanks for everybody who's reviewed. It pushed us right up the charts. We got in the top five, not Gary Neville out. That's a nice little start, isn't it?
I'm sure there's a few that would like to.
And just keep an eye on the social media, on the Twitter, on Facebook, all that jazz, and keep reviewing us if you can, and tell your mates, because that's important. Tell your mates.
Yeah, tell your mates. More listeners are better.
Any more for any more?
That's all from me, I think.
I'm done.
Love to share. No fragrances to plug.
Not really. I've had a couple of requests, but
yeah,
nothing. I think I might sack it off.
After share
the business, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it going to liquidation?
Not bankrupt. Any sponsors out there?
Liquidation fucking stinks.
I spoke to Griff, and Griff said he sold something like Cappus.
Well,
there's a few negative reviews.
Yeah. Right.
You get something though, you don't have to bother with Veet. Yeah. Great for the arsers. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yes,
we'll see you soon.
You.
We'll be back soon. Cheers, bye. Toodaloo.
Didn't he used to see if the lads were on the bench? He used to put them on and get some of the appearance money.
Stop.
I've heard the story where he's turned around and gone, right, who's on the...
Who's on the list?
Who's on the most?
Who's on the highest? And the minute they go, see if they were winning, you put the centre-half on and get...
So say you've got £2,000 appearance money, I'll put you on, give me £400.
You do, like, as a player, you'd
put you on with me.
It works both ways, doesn't it?
So your two grand. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
She plays bargaining.
Yeah.
Oh, 350. Fuck off. Who's next? Next. You get off your shit back down.
You're waiting on David Dickinson coming in.
Yeah.
I think you should take the offer. It's a good offer. It's not worth going to auction.
Can I get a raise on 650, please? Raise on 650.
So you're Saturday, you're on £2,000 in appearance, or grand in appearance, and you know that you're not going to get it. You might as well give him £200 and you'll get £400 or £500 after the attack.
Yeah.
Allegedly, anyway.
Allegedly.
That's the story. That's going on.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.